It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. You live it up the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
Hey, relax. All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Throw some ground balls. It's more democratic.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. The Off the Wall podcast is brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV. DirecTV, call 1-800-DIRECTV. It's Joe Auriemma and myself, Chris Sheeran, talking Yankees baseball. And Joe, I don't know why we're going to start off with this, but everybody else in New York has decided to talk about Derek Jeter skipping the All-Star game, so I'll put my two cents in, and you could follow suit. And here's how I feel, and I'll just get right to it.
Sure.
You know, these same people that are killing Derek for not going are the same people that were wondering why he was going in the first place. He was batting 256. He was hurt. Why is he going? It's a popularity contest. The All-Star game is poo-poo. You know, you don't go. You don't do this. It, you know, it doesn't mean anything, even with the World Series home field on the line. And then all of a sudden, Jeter decides, you know what? I want to give my calf time to rest. I don't want to go. I want to. If I go, I'm going to play. That's what he said. And if I play and I tweak it or if I do anything, I'm hurting my team in the second half. Fine. I respect that. I also respect the side of the fan saying, you know, he was voted here. He should come. I get that as well. But I think Derek Jeter has earned the right that if he is injured, and I'm going to believe that he's injured to the point where, you know, he's just coming back from this injury. He's not injured. He's playing. But he's coming back from this injury. He doesn't want to do anything to further injure his calf and hamper his second half. I get it. I get both sides. What I don't get and what I hate and what drives me up a freaking wall is how the same guys on the radio who are just looking to get phone calls were killing him for getting selected, and now they're killing him still for not going. I got one word, three syllables, hypocrite. You're hypocrites. And you're just, let's face it, you're trying to get callers. You're trying to be controversial. Because let's face it, there is nothing else going on. You know what you should be talking about? And you could laugh at me if you want. Talk about the U.S. women in the World Cup final. A lot of good stories there. You rather go with Jeter? Skipping the All-Star game? Really? Thank God. Thank God we work in sports. And I'll tell you why. Because if that is our biggest problem in sports, if that's the biggest thing, the biggest piece of news that we're talking about to stir up a little controversy, we got it easy. We got it made in the shade. If this is what we do for a living and that's the big news, wow. Joe,
listen, what do you think? I'm just going to say that when it comes down to it, Chris, when he made the decision, he told everybody that week why he wasn't going. Then all of a sudden, it wasn't an issue all the way up until Monday.
Media day,
when, you know, Lance Berkman opened his mouth and Carlos Beltran opened his mouth, and then this unnamed official, MLB official, came out and didn't have the guts to say it, you know, with his
right.
name and face
right.
out there. So my take on it is, do you have an obligation to the fan from one perspective to go? Yeah, I mean, they voted you. Yeah, okay. But from another perspective, has Derek Jeter done enough where if he feels that he's going to be hurting his team in the second half, has he done enough in the game where you can say, you know what, he's Derek Jeter. He can do that now. If he really felt 100%, he would be there.
He would.
This is a guy.
I truly believe that.
This is a guy who's done everything right in everything that he's ever done. This is a guy who's handled the New York media and handled the New York pressure with more class than any other player that I've seen in my lifetime. This is someone that just a week before took such a momentous occasion, and that whole day reeked of class.
Mm-hmm.
Between Christian Lopez and Derek Jeter and the way he went about it, and even not wanting the game to stop because he reached the milestone, because he felt bad that the other team, you know, it was hindering their chance to win. This is someone that when he says something like, you know what, I'm still not 100%, I basically played through that injury to achieve my milestone, to get through it, to get the pressure and the monkey off my back before the first half was over and have a clear mind in the second half and try to help my team win, well, you know what? Get off his back. Get off his back.
Hey, let me give you his quote right from Derek Jeter's mouth. This is not paraphrasing. This is direct. If I went out there, I was going to play. It wasn't an easy decision, but I thought it was a decision that was best for our team for the second half of the season. I understand the disappointment, but I was surprised by the coverage of it, especially considering it wasn't a story until Tuesday. I don't know what happened all those other days. Because as you said, he told everybody last week.
And the other quote that I liked, and look, I like Lance Berkman. Lance Berkman was here last year. He gave us, you know, a number of interviews, and he was a really, really nice guy. I mean, you met him. He's a really good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But the quote that he said is, I don't want to speak for other players.
That's the only thing Jeter agreed with.
Yes.
In his quote.
Yeah, he shouldn't speak for other players, you know. And look, the bottom line is that Carlos Beltran and Lance Berkman can say whatever they want to say, and this unnamed official can say whatever they want to say.
Here's something else.
But Bud Selig.
Yeah.
Bud Selig was the one that said, he's the commissioner of baseball. He said, there hasn't been a better ambassador for baseball in the last 15 years. This guy has covered a couple of generations of baseball fans and has done it the right way. With everything else that's gone on with baseball, Chris, in the last couple of decades, between steroids, all the performance-enhancing drugs,
mm-hmm.
between, you know, home run numbers being inflated all over the place, we're going to harp on Derek Jeter not going to the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Come on.
I thought you were going to come at me a little different, but I'm kind of glad that you have this feeling. And that last point you brought up, you know, kind of puts the final hammer blow to the nail. I mean, in a baseball world of fill in the expletive, Derek Jeter has been the rose growing out of manure. He has. Like it or not, you people could hate him all you want. It's fine. I get it. People hated Michael Jordan. People hate Kobe Bryant.
Tiger Woods.
People hate LeBron James.
Yeah.
People hate Tiger Woods. You know why? Because they're really good at what they do, and they make a lot of money doing what they do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I get it. I hated Jordan, but
you respected him.
But I respected the
Absolutely.
guy. He destroyed my team year in and year out. And I hated him with a passion, but you had to just sit back and thank God that you were getting the ability to watch this guy. Maybe not against your team do what he did, but just to watch this guy work. Watch how he breaks down. See how hard he works in the offseason to get to that point.
And every guy that you mentioned there, okay? Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods,
Kobe Bryant,
LeBron James. You know what they all have in common? They're all not Derek Jeter. Because Derek Jeter's never had a scandal revolve around his career. They might have been the best at what they did. And you know, you got to cut them slack too, because they were the best and people did hate them. But you know what? Kobe had his problems in the Colorado courts. Tiger Woods had his problems with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan had his gambling problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So LeBron James is just an idiot with the whole decision.
Continuous idiot.
Yes. Derek Jeter has never, ever had a scandal revolve around him. This is the cleanest player.
And I think it's a vendetta to break this guy's armor. I don't see what else it is. And it all started with his contract. And we talked about this ad nauseum last week. And I'll just give it to you one more time. And then I'll shut up about it. But if you've done everything the way you should have done, and you're on your contract year, and what did he bat in 2009? It had to be like 326, something like that.
He was in, 300.
I'll check on it in a second after I'm done making my point. But true, he didn't have a good year in 2010 in his contract year. He batted 270. But that was the lowest he ever batted in his career. And you do everything right, and you never find the back page or the front page unless you're winning a World Series championship or doing something great for the team. And you're charitable, and you do everything good off the field as well as on the field. It makes me sit back and say, wow, this is the world we live in? This is, we're supposed to be the most knowledgeable baseball fans. We're supposed to be the best fans in the world. Really? And we just forget everything? Now, and I told you in a podcast last week, if he doesn't produce, he shouldn't be leading off. I get it. I get that. That's just baseball. You need people on base when they lead off. I get it. But to take everything this guy has done over his career and completely put blinders on to not see that and just focus on not going to the All-Star game and bitching about his contract when the organization tells him to test the waters? After they take care of Alex Rodriguez, who opted out till he's going to be 42? Listen, if you have a problem with Derek Jeter's contract, I'd love to talk to the same people. Same people. When Alex Rodriguez is 41, barely hitting 200, has 10 home runs, and he's making $30 million.
And the bottom line is he's breaking down now.
Then come talk to me and tell me I was wrong about Derek Jeter. And if you want to tell
me... By the way, the contract ends in 2017. This is 2011.
Yes. Then come talk to me and tell me the two contracts have nothing to do with each other. It has everything to do with it. Derek Jeter's done everything right. We've said it a million times. Okay, and Derek Jeter's a team guy. But in every person, you, me, Joe, everybody listening to this podcast, pride comes into play. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, like, why is Chris getting more airtime
exactly.
right now?
Why is Chris Bogarting the mic?
It's unbelievable, this guy.
But it's the truth. It's in every walk of life. Look at the person you work with. Don't tell me you've never wondered what they make and why you're not making as much as they are. You do just as good as a job as they do.
If not better.
If not better. I'm sure Joe was thinking that right now.
Not saying about you. I'm just making a point.
We're making light of it. We're making light of it, but it's the God's honest truth. Pride comes into play. I don't care if you're
the toughest-minded
person on the planet. Yes.
He hit 334.
334 in 2009.
212 hits. 18 home runs. 66 RBIs,
see, it all
107
goes back,
runs.
It scored. All goes back, Joey, to what I blogged about when we first started blogging on yesnetwork.com. This area has Janet Jackson disease, and it always will. And in case you don't know what it is, and you never read my blog, and you never heard me say it before, Janet Jackson disease is simply, what have you done for me lately? Ooh. Exactly. 334. Got his fifth ring. My, how soon we forget. We're not even 2 years away. We're not even 2 years removed from that.
I know.
And it's ancient history.
I know. It's amazing.
What have you done for me lately, Derek?
What have you done for me lately? Do-do-do-do.
I have a feeling that'll be in the podcast. But seriously.
I don't think we're allowed to use it. I don't even think I'm allowed to sing it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, well.
Whatever. But that's what I'm saying. I just don't... I don't get all the scrutiny. I don't know if you listened to the radio the past week. I just listened to it coming in.
And people were still harping on it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I've been avoiding sports radio the last week.
I can't deal with it. And there's no other side. Everybody is just lambasting Derek Jeter. No one is taking his side. No one that I've heard. Or heard my friends tell me. Because I've heard, you know, people... I went home to New Jersey for a couple days. And my cousin walks in the bar and the first thing he says to me, I'm not going to tell you who it was, but he says to me, wow, that guy on so-and-so, he's just all over Jeter. The first thing he says to me when he walks, he hasn't seen me in months. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing he says to me. And all I could do is shake my head. To an extent, it's what I said before. These guys are just trying to get people like me to call.
Because the 5%...
I really hope they don't feel like that.
Because the 5% of listeners that actually do call in, which is, I think they're... That's the actual people that call in. It's only 5% of the people that are listening. Those people are idiots. So they're trying to get you to call in. I'm sorry, I'm saying it. Those people are morons. I've listened to these
heard
taking
of Plato,
calls...
Plato, Socrates... Morons.
Oh, God.
Anyway, let's get past this. I mean, everybody should be past this, and I just needed to throw in my two cents, and I wanted to see how you felt.
I hope I didn't disappoint.
You didn't. And the second half of the season has started, and the two guys who were...
So good in the first half.
Yeah. Bartolo Colon and Freddie Garcia have not really come out and turned heads in their first starts in the second half, but... Again, I am not going to fall victim to Janet Jackson's season.
I'll say this. One thing that's bothersome about Colon is that one thing he relied on in the first half is that he relied on that two-seam fastball that danced all over the place, that had wonderful movement, hitting 96-97 on the gun.
In the eighth inning.
In the eighth inning. Is flat. It's flat right now. So could it be that maybe... He's starting to wear down a little bit because he pitched in winter ball. I'm more concerned about Colon than I am Garcia because Garcia is a guy
he
that
doesn't throw
he
hard.
Throws junk.
Right.
And he's consistent. So the one thing about Garcia is you know you're going to get a stinker from him every once in a while. You do. That's just the way he pitches. But he's going to give you more solid outings than anything. He's going to be fooling guys more often than not. Colon, on the other hand... It's a little worrisome. I got to be honest. It's got to be worrisome to Yankee fans. And that's where Phil Hughes comes in. They need Phil Hughes to be the Phil Hughes from the first half of last season. They need him to step up here because if Colon, let's just say he doesn't come back. Let's just say that that fastball is flat again and it's just not what it was in the first half. That's where Hughes needs to step in and be Phil Hughes of last year. And that's where Ivan Nova comes in.
Living La Vida Nova. Where is he?
That's where Nova comes in. And you know what? That's also where the, you know, I'm sure they're going to be exploring a lot of things on the trade market. I really do. I'm sure something's going to be out there.
Well, we shall see with that. I on the other hand, I really wanted Colon in the bullpen. I get why he went back into the rotation. I get it for all the reasons. But if they were worried about him being in the bullpen at the outset of the season... You're just trying to be really greedy and getting more out of him on the back end. Now, maybe his last start where he lasted two-thirds of an inning was an aberration. I mean, the way the Blue Jays scored the run and the way the Yankees were throwing the ball around that night, you think about it, two of the hits in that inning were slow rollers to third.
Yeah.
Now, he did load the bases beforehand.
Nunez did not play a solid third base.
They were not hitting the cover off the ball by any means.
Right.
So I'm going to give him at least a couple more starts before I start to throw him into the fire. But you would hope that Phil Hughes starts turning around, as Joe said, starts pitching like Phil Hughes, so you could bring Ivan Nova back up and put Colon back in the bullpen. If he's not giving you the starts that he was giving you in the first half of the season.
Because if he is, you then you got to keep him going.
You got to keep him going. You got to be greedy, because what else do you have?
Right.
So if he turns it around, which I think he will, I just don't think it goes away. He is 37 years of age, though. But I think two starts, you can't just start throwing in the towel. And as Joey says, you know, every once in a while you're going to get a stinker from Freddy Garcia just because he throws junk. And if, you know, if you have a team that hits off speed stuff very well, he's not going to last too long. Unless he hits microscopic spots and the umpire's giving him the corners.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If Garcia is not getting the calls, the thing with Garcia is when he's spot on, he's usually spot on with his off-speed stuff, with his junk. And that's why he can afford to throw a fastball in the mid-80s, because if he's locating, it's fine. But if he's not locating and they're hitting, you know, the off-speed stuff, there's a problem. There is a problem.
I have to interject here really quick. I have to give a shout-out. I just got a nice little message from Steph Gordon, who is Steph Mara on Twitter. And it said, "We were just discussing on Twitter how much we miss you on there. Well, and in general." So that makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And I miss everybody, too, on Twitter. Just understand why I'm never going back on Twitter ever again. I just don't think people should have unfettered access to... I'm not calling myself a celebrity. I'm like Brad Pitt. I don't think people should be able to follow him. It was like that video we saw in our... corporate outing, how a guy just says, "Can I follow you?" And starts and he's just following the person, literally. It's kind of scary. But anyway, that's very much appreciated, and I do miss you guys as well. So having said that, the second half of the season, you know what we didn't do, Joe? And we have to do it really quick.
Yes.
We have to give out our mid-grade report card for the New York Yankees.
I'll
break it down. First, we're going to do pitching.
Okay.
So pitching is first. Joe, what do you give the Yankees starting pitching?
Okay, starting pitching.
In the first half.
Starting pitching was way better than anybody thought it was going to be. CC Sabathia has pitched like an absolute beast.
He's like the curve.
Yeah.
Graded on a curve, Sabathia.
Unbelievable. They got more out of Colon than they ever thought they were going to get out of. They got more out of Garcia than they ever thought they were going to... you know what, Chris? I'm just going to say the grade, because if you had told me before the season that Phil Hughes was not going to be in the rotation to start this season, and for basically the whole first half, and the Yankees would have been going back and forth between the Red Sox and first place, I would have called you nuts. I'm giving them an A.
Okay.
I'm giving them an A.
Fair. So Joe gives them an A.
Burnett's been better.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a little stingy. I'm gonna give him a B plus, just because there were a couple of speed bumps along the way, and I do tend to agree with you in the fact that, you know, if we knew back then in spring training that it was going to be, the rotation was going to be without Phil Hughes and the way it's situated now, and Ivan Nova, who's 8-4, I would have said, I don't know. So the way they pitched, Joe gives them an A, I give him a B+. Bullpen, I'll start there, and I'm going the same track with the bullpen that you went with the starters, but one step further. I'm giving the bullpen an A, and here's why. If I knew Soriano, Jabba, Feliciano were going to be done. Not, you know, Jabba was a little bit of the season. Feliciano hasn't seen the field. And Soriano, when he did, he wasn't good. So with those three out of the mix, you would think that this bullpen, which is patchwork still as we talk now, you wouldn't think it'd be as successful as it was. But I think the two guys who have lifted it up to where it was, and Boone Logan lately, but David Robertson and Mariano Rivera have just been unbelievable. And I don't know what you think, and I don't want to kick dirt on Mariano, because he's still obviously the greatest closer of all time. But David Robertson's making a case. You know, everybody raised an eyebrow with Jabba. Maybe David Robertson is
heir apparent.
Is the heir apparent. Who knows?
I am going to say that Mariano Rivera and David Robertson are A pluses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Jabba was very good when he was there, mm-hmm. when he was not injured. Soriano was terrible.
Awful.
But
you don't know how long he was pitching with the problem in his elbow.
That's
too.
The whole thing. I mean, when his pitches weren't crisp, I mean,
he was flat.
Look, you, like you said, patchwork with Corey Wade and Ayala and everybody else that they've
Pendleton
trotted out there.
Waylon.
I'm actually going to give them a B, B plus.
Okay.
B, I'll give them a B plus.
Okay.
Just because I think Mariano and Robertson have been so good. The guys that have come in have been very, very good, very, you know, reliable. But Soriano does pull them down a little bit, in my opinion.
All right.
And Boone Logan.
Okay.
Boone Logan's pulled them down a little bit.
He did, but he's starting to pitch better. After A-Rod talked to him, our Jack Curry noticed that in the clubhouse, which was a great piece of reporting by Jack Curry, and he wrote about that. You can see it online if you haven't read about it yet or heard about it yet on the pre- and post-game. You pretty much living under a rock like that dude in the Geico commercial if you're not. But if you haven't, check it out. It's worth the read. A-Rod, according to Jack, is just a baseball gym rat, knows everything about the game and wants to help people. He works with Nunez. He talked to Logan about his slider. So ever since then, he's been a little bit better than he was before. All right, the lineup. This is tough because there have been times during the year, Joe, that the Yankees weren't scoring a lot of runs. I think the lineup has underperformed in the first half. And I know people might be raising their eyebrows and screaming at their computer right now, but that's just the way I feel. I mean, when you have a lineup that has Jeter, Granderson, who hasn't underperformed. Granderson's
by,
one of,
by the way, it's amazing. You know what? You're right. This lineup has underperformed, and they're still
like, oh, no.
tops in a lot of these
but
categories. Right.
With
no,
the guys, with the guys in this lineup, you would think that they would be better, and that's all I'm saying. So I'm not going to give them a C. I'm going to give them a B, but only because they no B plus. We're like borderline B minus here. I just think they should be putting it together more consistently rather than sporadically like they are.
Gardner had a rough start to the season,
right.
but he picked it up. It's almost the first half's interesting for me because I feel like it's a tale of two halves within a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of guys started off slow and really picked it up. The one guy that's been consistent throughout the whole year has been Curtis Granderson.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Teixeira has his power numbers are ridiculous, but his batting average
yeah.
is terrible. Alex Rodriguez's batting average is great, but his power numbers aren't where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, Robinson Cano, I feel like with the good numbers that he's put up, his numbers
it's
should be better.
Coaster. Yeah, right. It's a roller coaster.
His numbers should be better than mm-hmm. they are. Derek Jeter, again, we see it. He was injured. I think his numbers actually could be better. I think the pressure in the first half to get to that 3,000 to an individual performance, something that he hasn't had to worry about in his career,
mm-hmm.
is something that weighed on his mind. I think he could be at 290
mm-hmm.
easily. And I think you look at Gardner was better. Swisher got better as the half, you know, was there.
The he second half of the first
the
half.
The second half of the first half. I'm going to give it a B minus.
Okay.
B minus.
So we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
Okay. Defense.
Defense. Nunez has been terrible. Nunez, and that's another guy. He's been very good with the stick. He's been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Jeter, his range isn't what it once was, but he still gets to everything that he needs to get to.
Yeah.
Cano has been lackadaisical on a lot of plays, but then makes plays that no other second baseman in
yeah.
baseball makes. Mark Teixeira,
he's
again,
the reason. Yeah, he's unbelievable at first
again,
base.
If Jason Giambi was at first base,
I don't think the Yankees...
40, they'd have at least 40 more errors.
Yeah, I don't think the Yankees... in 2009, I said that all the time, Teixeira was a difference at first base.
The catchers have been... Like Russell Martin started off hot. The catchers have been throwing the ball into center field. Cervelli has not been good.
I'm puzzled by Cervelli.
Granderson has been the best defensive player on this team. He gets to everything.
Yeah.
He gets to everything. Gardner
with his arm.
Plays a very good left field.
Gardner's playing very good in left field.
Swisher.
With his arm.
Sometimes he plays a good right field. Sometimes he plays an awful
sometimes
right
field. Sometimes he's
FedEx. I'm giving him a C.
And he airmails.
I'm giving him a C.
Yeah, but all right. Joe gives them a C. A C is like a 75. Okay. It's going to bring it down a little bit, the cumulative grade. I will give them a C plus for defense.
Give them a 78.
79.
Okay, wow.
So we're going to average these out, and when we come back in like 5 seconds from a brief interlude, because we're going to edit this and there's not going to be any time between it, you're just going to hear me say, okay, so Joe gives it a this and I give it a that. All right, so we'll be back right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at yesnetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at yesnetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on yesnetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
And a welcome back. Joe, after averaging out our 4 grades for starting pitching, bullpen, lineup, and defense, Joe comes out to an 85.1, or a B. And I come out to an 86. And that's a B as well. So we give the Yankees a B for their first half of the season. Now, I got to tell you, the last time I gave the Yankees a grade of B in the first half of the season was back in 2009, and we all know what happened then. I think, Joe, as we conclude this year, I think, you know, as we start the second half and we look at where the Yankees are right now, they're a game and a half behind the Red Sox. The Rays are 5 back, and the rest of the division is just kind of falling off the map with the Blue Jays and the Orioles in double digits. I think the division is still very much up for grabs. The Yankees are going to have to show something definitely when they take on the Red Sox for the first time in August from the 5th through the 7th up in Fenway. I don't think they need to sweep them, but I think
they need to win the series.
They need to take 2 of 3.
Yes,
they definitely
agreed.
Need to win the series. They, you know, coming out of the break, they have Toronto, they have Tampa, Oakland, Seattle, Baltimore at home, and then they go White Sox, Red Sox away, and they're back home. They're pretty much gone in August. Gone. They're in Chicago, in Boston. Then they're home for L.A. and Tampa for 7 games. Then they're back on the road in Kansas City and Minnesota. Then they come home for Oakland, and then they're back on the road for Baltimore and Boston again.
I'm going to be interested to see, you know, coming down this stretch here, what the Yankees are going to do at the trade deadline. I'm interested. I got to tell you, I spoke with our own Glenn Jean Grandy about this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try to get Tim Dirkus from MLB Trade Rumors. We've had him on before. We're going to try to get some other guests for next week to talk about, you know, things that the Yankees could do. But I kind of proposed something to Glenn. And, you know, I might be way off base, but one team that's really in need of some relief is the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, Matt Kemp is going into a... His contract ends at the end of the year. He signed a 2-year deal. Okay? But he's also arbitration eligible for next year. But with his numbers, the way he's going right now, with his 24 stolen bases, his 20-something home runs, his over 300 average, he's having an MVP-like year. In arbitration, he's going to make a killing.
Mm-hmm.
Something the Dodgers might not be able to afford. Maybe the Yankees should just pick up the phone and see if Matt Kemp is available. I know everybody's going to say, well, he's a center fielder, and they already have Granderson. What's to say they can't move him over to right and include Nick Swisher in the deal? I like Nick Swisher. I'm just saying that Matt Kemp is a difference maker. And in the same part, they also have some starting pitchers that are pretty, you know, a good player out on the market, like a Chad Billingsley. See, it doesn't hurt to just pick up the phone and call them because they need the relief. They need the help. Swisher's an expiring contract. I'm just saying. Just saying.
It all makes sense.
Now, people might not agree with me. They might say that, you know, that's foolish. Okay, well, call the Cubs, see if Matt Garza's available. I like Matt Garza. These are certain things.
He's pitched in the AL East. He was with the Rays.
These are things that I think the Yankees could be doing.
Well, I tend to agree with you in the fact that this team is not going to look the same after the trade deadline. Because if they, you know, if Hughes doesn't start turning things around and they go past the trading deadline and their rotation still looks the way it looks, I don't know.
Well, and that's also including a Red Sox team that might land Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
And be their new right fielder. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary. The way Ellsbury's playing, the way Gonzalez is playing, the way Ortiz is playing. You know, Pedroia's always a threat. That's a team that, you know, you add Beltran to that mix if they do make a trade with the Mets.
If he keeps playing the way he's playing.
Yeah. In that ballpark as a switch hitter, and he's a better right-handed hitter. He's one of the few switch hitters that's really a better right-handed hitter. More power from the right-hand mm-hmm. side. So
it's going to be interesting to see. Where are we now? 16th. So we got
a couple weeks
before the trade deadline hits us on the 31st. I'd be shocked if the Yankees looked the same. Shocked.
I would too.
And I'm not talking about just a little move here and a little move there for the bench and this and that. You don't need help on the bench. You don't.
And we saw what happened last year. I'm sorry, but Austin Kearns didn't do anything.
No.
Berkman was a good move, but Berkman also isn't the Berkman that he was this year. I mean, he was okay. He was serviceable.
In the offseason, he got into shape, and he's reaping the benefits from that with the Cardinals.
Yes.
But he wasn't doing that last year with the Yankees.
No.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. Shocked. By the way, we are still getting this minor league monthly thing done. and it's a good one. We've had enough time to put it together.
By the way, this show is going to win about 14 Emmys.
Yeah. But we'll have that ready for you in the near future, very near future. Also, we're still looking for nicknames or new names for the podcast.
Things are starting to come in.
Okay. We just need more. It would be nice to hear from you. A couple of my friends have suggested things. Face to facade, like face to face.
See what they did there.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Throw that out there. I also got Undefeated and Unscored Upon podcast, which is something from my high school days. The freshman football team, when I was a junior, went Undefeated and Unscored Upon, and we used to make fun of them because they got jackets made up.
Undefeated and Unscored yeah. Upon. Well, that's, yeah.
Yeah. And they walked around in the hallway as freshmen with their Undefeated and Unscored
as upon a freshman team?
Jackets
a freshman
on, team? Yes.
Okay, yes. Stop.
Exactly. So we made fun of them. But anyway, those are two that I got from a couple of friends of mine, and we're still looking. And don't forget, you get to come in and join us on the podcast, and you also get a Derek Jeter jersey from the 2009 World Series. It has the patch on it and everything. So whoever wins reaps the rewards, and we're still trying to figure out a way to do this live from a shore point later in August. When I find out from my contacts down there, you will be the first to know, and hopefully you guys could all come down. We'll make it a big tweet up and just have a really good time and, you know, have a couple of sodas and talk sports all afternoon.
Look, I got a refrigerator in here. You could put
bitch soda.
Yeah, anything you want, Tommy.
Anything you want to keep cool. All right, so I think that's about going to wrap it up for this weekend edition of the Off the Wall podcast brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV, DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Thank you, Joe. For Joe Oriema, I'm Chris Sheeran, and we'll see you next time on the Off the Wall podcast or whatever you name it.
And watch My Yes Weekly.